You're listening to Underrepresented Representatives. Wow, it felt so good to say that. It's been way too long. Everyone who's listening, I know you're feeling good. You're like, when are they going to end the season? Well, guess what? This is our second to last episode. Congratulations, you're listening. And of course, if you're wondering who I am, it's me, your girl, DJ Nasty Naj, aka Naja Imani Muhammad, the artist formerly known as Nim Tizzy, aka Teacher of the Year, aka You Already Know the Vibes, aka the Queen, not Queen Naja who tried to steal my whole act, but Queen Naja, aka the self-love advocate, plant-based mistress. And the other host is David Quill.
Yo, no one calls you Nim Tizzy. Never once. That's a lie. Yes.
Nah.
Who?
Oh, ask all my brothers. I had a rap name. I have a whole track, Connor. Can you play my track at the end of this episode? I had a track. In sixth grade, I wrote, there was a competition. Mm-hmm. You had to write a poem or a rap about, like, anti-bullying.
I got you.
And I wrote a rap.
Oh, I know that.
Remember? And it goes in the beginning. I mean, no one really called me it. You're right. But in the beginning, I go, Nim Tizzy, rocking the mic. Connor, you're gonna play it at the end, okay?
Let's do it.
All right. Stay tuned to the end of this episode so you can listen to my track so that you can stop bullying your people. So David can stop bullying his girlfriend. Connor can stop bullying his friends.
What's up?
Anyway, what's up? How you feeling, David?
I'm doing all right. Can't complain. It's been a long time since we recorded, but good to see everybody. Just quarantine time, hunkering down. You know, things are going a little bit crazy in this world, but we're making it through.
You look great. I wish you could all, maybe we'll post a little bit of this to our social. He looks good. If you could see David right now,
I'm gassing.
His skin is clear.
Don't gas me. I've been using the Bevel moisturizer and the tuner and all that good stuff. You know, black owned business.
That's right. I heard he actually got one of those jade rollers for his skin. So,
what?
Right, didn't you?
No. I didn't get nothing like that.
You're supposed to say yes and.
It's like improv. I got to keep going. Go with it.
We're doing an improv game at the end of this. Anyway, today's episode is sponsored, of course, by LBC. That's Leaders by Choice, like a true sponsorship now. It's growing since our last episode. We just finished our fall semester where we had 50 students enrolled on virtual learning, which was really, really cool. Shout out to LBC. By the time you hear this episode, we'll be selling tickets for our production of You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. So link in bio for that. Hit up LBC. There's a lot of really great things going on. Today's episode is also sponsored by Virtue, who's been doing a lot. David, tell us about Virtue.
You know, the Virtue brand, Virtue, clothing with a conscience. We're trying to do, you know, we started out with hoodies. Now we're trying to kind of, there we go. That's fire. My man, Troy, early supporter, but watch is coming. We got a lot of things going on for 2021. We didn't want to do too much in 2020, understanding the things that are going on, but we still wanted to support the people. A lot of our clothes, we donate some money. We're working with Our Human Union. Everyone that purchased the People Over Politics hoodie, we donated $5 per hoodie. And then we have the Morals Over Money hoodies. We still got to make that donation to LBC. Don't think I forgot. I got you. I got you, but I appreciate everyone that continues to support.
Yes, it's beautiful. 2020 has been like a challenging year, and I want people to stop being sick. I want people to stop dying. There's just so much hardship, but it's beautiful to hear the people who are giving back. So, David, honestly, just you, I feel like because you were afforded the time to actually continue to develop this idea and this business with Eddie, you're giving back more. And I feel like there's a lot of that happening in 2020. So we'll get into that later. But yeah, it's a challenging year that's almost over. And yet, as cheesy as it sounds, there have been some silver linings.
Yeah,
100%. So I can't wait to hear about some of those. But before we get into all of that, who we got on the show today, Dave?
My man, Troy Blyden. This is my guy. We met back in the day through our boy Lenny. We all worked at the Yankees, and we just hit it off, of course, for specific reasons, being few of the only people of color at the office. We always got to make sure we look out with each other. But I always just follow Troy's story and just seeing the maturation of him and what he's looking to accomplish, health and longevity. He always got me looking up something different when it comes to my health, especially with the Dr. Sebi group blueprint that he set. And then Troy kind of embarking on that journey. So that's why I definitely wanted to have him on today, speak about that, because everything that's going on in the world. Everyone's talking about how you can catch COVID, but no one's talking about how you can heal from it or you can support yourself and be better. So, Troy, welcome. I'm definitely excited to hear you talk today.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Glad to be here. Super honored.
Well, we definitely appreciate you being on, my man.
I'm just excited to chat with you. Everything that David just said. And I love what you just said about everyone's talking about getting COVID, but not how to heal from it. And I think the key word is heal. Long before COVID, I feel that people needed to have this mentality that their bodies needed to heal. So I'm excited to hear your perspective on that.
Yeah.
Troy.
I mean, we're just, I'm glad to be here, man. But yeah, just to piggyback off that, like, I mean, there's people talking about, oh, you got to wear your mask, like, you can't get sick, but, you know, they're eating pizza every night. Like, it just doesn't, you know, it doesn't add up. Like, you got to figure out what your priorities are. If you're really worried about your immune system, like, you should be doing everything you can possible to prevent yourself from a virus getting in, you know? So, you know, my whole thing is like, there you go. There you go. What's that? Ginger? What else?
Ginger turmeric tea.
Ginger turmeric. There you go. There you go. That's a fact. But like, and then also like, you know, if you follow Dr. Sebi at all, you know, there's certain things on his list that like he forbids, and like they're hybrids. You shouldn't use turmeric. You shouldn't use this and that. But I think we need to like focus less on that and focus more on just like living a holistic, like healthier lifestyle. Like turmeric is not going to hurt you. Like that's, turmeric is better than, you know, drinking coffee every morning or whatever. Yeah. So that's another thing I see like within that like alkaline community. It's like, it's a lot of judgment. Mm-hmm. And like, I used to be that way. I used to like, you know, kind of when I first started eating a certain way, I was kind of like acting like I've been doing that forever when that's not the case. And like, I was kind of like lightweight judging people, but now like I realize like, that's not how you help anybody. So yeah, I mean,
I feel, well, it's a process, right? And it's a practice. And I feel like people jump in when they have these particular, I don't know, these lifestyles that we follow, and it becomes like a, you're stuck in a box and you have to follow every single rule. And the thing is, many of our minds don't work that way, right? Like you seem like very strong-willed and strong-minded, which is beautiful. And I think that anyone can be that way, but some people go so extreme really, really fast and they don't know why they're doing it. They're just following a rule because it's hot. So then they go down the deep end, as opposed to building a practice. When I first became like vegan, not even thinking about just like truly eating holistically and plant-based, okay, vegan, boom, day of cheese, process this, that. I look at that now, I'm like, oh, that was not healthy. It is not healthy. And yet, like, it's a process. Now, I'm doing a cleanse with my mom, and people are like, oh, cleanses, you know, it's not a diet, it's a lifestyle. We're learning about, you know, all these refined foods that even that we put in our bodies, right? And so there's so many, we're not eating refined foods. Like, I'm on this like no sugar, no oil, no flour, no alcohol, no sodium. Boom. Even with that being said though, it's like my dad chose not to join us and he's getting, you know, his Beyond Meat. He's getting his Beyond Meat, but like that's his process right now. Yeah. And slowly but surely he's trickling things in. And I think sometimes people have to be like that because those extremes can be really, really detrimental. If you're someone, for example, I know somebody who, you know, is a recovering drug addict who's on this lifestyle. Sometimes she goes to that wild extreme and then has a bad day and it's like, boom, I'm eating Lay's potato chips. I'm eating this, I'm eating that, because her mind isn't built. It's not strong yet. So I think it's not just about strengthening your body, but you know, everything's connected. You got to strengthen your mind too. I am the kind of person who can go cold turkey, but I also never drink alcohol. You know what I mean? Like that's just how my mind works, but I'm interested in balance. So what I want to hear from you, Troy, is like, you said you used to kind of have some more of that judgment and it seems like you're living a very balanced lifestyle, but like, what is balance to you? You know, what is balance? Do you eat Lay's ever?
The worst I'll do is like this, it's this brand called, I think they're called Banana. It's like these plantain chips. That's like the worst I'll do. Like, you know, like I'm really like hardcore with it. Like people look at me like I'm crazy, but yeah, balance to me is just like finding out what works for you. Like just because I don't eat sugar or processed sugar or whatever, that doesn't mean the next person can't, you know, have a donut every once in a while and be fine. But like me personally, like I judge myself way too hard when I do indulge in something that I know is bad for me. Like if I, there's this quote, it's like every bite you take is either feeding disease or fighting it. And so like if I'm eating a Krispy Kreme donut, it's like I can't even fully enjoy it because I know this isn't really doing anything positive for me besides maybe like releasing some dopamine, but that's like short term.
And you can get that elsewhere.
Yeah, exactly. So that's, I mean, balance for me is finding what works for you. Like there's no one answer.
And you guys are definitely,
I was just going to say that's so, it's just so interesting. Because once you know, they say if you knew better, you do better, right? So like once you do know that something's bad for you, I feel that too, where I'm like, ugh, but why would I do this? Like even I make my own like, you know, nut milks now. And I'm like, yeah, it takes time. But now I'm looking at like whatever brand, I don't want to shout out any brands, you know, get sued in these streets. But I'm like, oh, if I'm going to shout out a brand, Blue Diamond has 200 grams of sodium in their almond milk.
Yes.
Yeah, it's quick to go to Walmart and buy that. But like, why would I do that now that I have, that I can do it myself?
I'm messing up now because I got almond milk in the fridge right now. Now I got to look at it. Yeah, I don't know what that, I'm not scientific with it. I'm the person.
It's better. It's, don't get me wrong, it's better than dairy, but it's like there's so much fillers and there's barely any almonds in it. It's like water, emulsifiers.
That's your first step.
Exactly.
50 years ago, you were all on that udder. You were on that cow's udder, didn't even clean it.
I've been lactose intolerant since I was 15. Stop playing with me. Oh man, I'm a grown man. In my mind, I was 30. Now I'm 37, all right? No, Troy, what I would love to hear, man, because I've seen so many different phases of your life. Like, we never spoke about like this health and longevity mindset when we were working together. Like, what has brought you to that process? Were you always like this? Like, what has that process been?
Definitely wasn't on it back then when we met. Okay. I was coming into the office with Dunkin' Donuts coffee with sugar in it and donuts, and like I didn't care. Ask Lenny, like I didn't care. But what, like as I got older, you know, and played less sports, you know, I started looking different. I started like gaining weight. Not, I was never overweight or anything, but like, you know, I was noticing I wasn't like, I didn't look the same as when I was a college athlete. So I was like, dang, like something's got to give. So then I started like getting more conscious with it. Still wasn't like, you know, like I am now, but as I progressed, I was on tour with the Globetrotters last year, and Nipsey Hussle got killed. And you know, there was rumors that it was because he was working on a Dr. Savy documentary, and that turned out to be false. But in terms of like why he got killed, that wasn't connected. But it led me to Dr. Savy. I had no idea who he was. So then I started researching him and finding out, oh, he cured all these people of all these different diseases. And I was just so intrigued. I was like this is crazy. And then I just did like a full 180, like overnight. And I tried to. I didn't transition. I tried to go just fully alkaline. Like, I have a picture of like when I went grocery shopping. It was crazy. It was all green. So I tried that, failed miserably. I was like, then I went back. I was eating, you know, I was eating better. I was, from that point, it switched in me and I can't think the same anymore. Like once I started learning about, you know, how these things affect our body, I just can't, you know, it's like, if you knew better, you'd do better. It's like that. I can't think of a, you know, a burger the same because I know how bad it is and all that. So that's what like sparked me to go so hard with it is when Nipsey died. And then like, you know, I just started going deeper and deeper into the lifestyle, started experimenting with fasting and, you know, juicing and all that type of stuff. So yeah, that's,
and how that's do you where feel? I'm
at now. How do I feel? I feel good. Yeah. I feel like, you know, vital.
So yeah. I have a question. First of all, I know everyone doesn't celebrate Thanksgiving. I've been getting really into land acknowledgments, by the way. I am on the Tuscarora land. So it's acknowledging the indigenous lands that you're on because it was stolen. I have a little bit of a personal conflict because I'm also like, yeah, well, my people were stolen from our land. But at the same time, I like to acknowledge indigenous land. So in North Carolina right now, I'm on the Tuscarora land.
Are you in North Carolina? Okay.
I'm in, yeah, I came down here, started the pandemic for 2 weeks.
She was out. She didn't even tell us. She was like, yo, we actually, it was the day we stopped recording.
Nah, it was like,
I got the text. She was like, yo, I'm actually in North Carolina. I left last night. I'm like, bro, what are you talking about? I'm almost positive you left the day.
I left on March 16th.
And we recorded when? Like March, oh, okay, so
March 6th. But it was close. And my roommates and I, we were all talking about like whether or not we should go. And they're like, oh, but what if it's longer? I don't want to be stuck with my parents. I was like, whew. I mean, I do. I want to be stuck with my parents if it's longer because you don't know. And I just remember booking a flight that day. I told my roommates, be right back. And then I just didn't come back. It was crazy. But yeah, so the land acknowledgement, you acknowledge the land that you're on. And one of the schools I work for is really big on that. And so, yeah, I like doing those land acknowledgements. Boom. Connor, you can, if you press pause on the recording, we can stop for a moment.
Can't hear us.
I'm trying to, I got a new phone to log into all of our accounts.
You hear?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Nah, you good.
No,
I was messing with my AirPods and like I opened them and it connected.
Oh, I've done that so much.
So catch me up. What are y'all talking about?
No, I was saying land acknowledgements. Those are really dope. And so I was going to talk about Thanksgiving. And this year, my family like do a little land acknowledgement. We still celebrate as in we like to get together. And it was the first year that we were on this, we've always been plant-based or for the while been plant-based and vegan, but we took it an extra step. So I was wondering if you celebrate Thanksgiving, Troy, like what did you eat? Like what did you chef up for Thanksgiving?
What did I eat? Yeah, I remember. I was in New York for Thanksgiving. Mm. And, you know, I was afraid that I wasn't going to be able to eat much of what my family made. So I just made some regular, like some cabbage and like just a bunch of vegetables and stuff before I went over to their house. And then once I got there, my cousin, he's a chef, and he told me he would make me a couple things. So he made me like, what did he make me? Like, it was like smoked cauliflower and like, oh, wow, just a bunch of like roasted vegetables. And it was good. It was really good. Pumpkin soup. So he threw down. It was good.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. But,
yeah, in terms of like celebrating Thanksgiving, though, I don't really care for many of these holidays, you know.
Yeah. I care for being with my family. I do like to eat. I like to eat for my life, as in like I want to survive and thrive. But it was just nice to be together. But I find it really interesting. Like once you cut back on certain things or go, you know, cold turkey, your taste must change. They change, your taste buds change. And so I'm learning to appreciate all of the natural flavors in certain foods. Because I like to cook with a lot of seasoning, but obviously I've changed my mindset on the kinds of seasoning I'm using and just using like actual herbs and things like that. And it's wild. It's like a palate cleanse. Think about when after a baby like stops, you know, nursing or whatever, or having like baby formula, and they eat their first like piece of food, like they eat a strawberry for the first time, babies like, their eyes light up and they're like, what is this? So I've been enjoying like different foods where I'm like, oh my goodness, I never knew a cashew had so much flavor.
I love cashews. And like to that point, I've never been like the best eater. Like I was a little chubby kid growing up, and then I lost a little bit of weight when I was living in Atlanta. But now like living with Kelly, she's like super, like no bread. We haven't been doing well during quarantine, but certain times we've done well. But now living with her, and like I'll pop like a grape tomato, like those things taste so sweet to me for some reason, and never before has any vegetable tasted sweet to me. So it's like having these small things, to your point, it's like ridiculous. Like I can't believe that after you stop eating these certain things like processed sugar, like you spoke about, Troy, or like anything that you eat now has this different taste. And I never thought that could happen to me specifically, just because I've never been this type of person that eat and like be as healthy as possible, which I still, you know, last night I ate a whole, she was making a gingerbread house, well, she's going to, and I ate a whole thing of graham cracker. I couldn't help it, man. I miss my grandma and it reminded me of her. That's it. No, I went through a whole pack. It was.
That's what food is to us, though. It's emotional, you know. It's nostalgic. It like triggers these memories and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true. That processed food and stuff, I still like it. You know, I could still like eat a Cheez-It and enjoy it. I just know that it's not going to benefit me. That's just me personally. Like, so I'm not this person who's like, oh, I would never. Like, no, that stuff is delicious. like bacon cheeseburgers were my go-to.
Oh my god, I love bacon cheeseburger. I love a bacon cheeseburger.
But yeah, like y'all were saying, like, you know, that taste. It's like tasting this food for the first time, like a palate cleanse. That's like what fasting does for me. Mm. Once you like break a fast, no matter how long it is, you taste that food. It's like, oh my goodness, like. Wow, I never experienced the flavors in this food before. It makes you appreciate it on a different level.
And that's what it comes down to for me, appreciating it on a different level and just like truly, it goes down to land acknowledgement too, not about indigenous people, but like truly appreciating what's like been put on this earth. Like I'm not at this stage yet, but I just like, I keep having these dreams legitimately where like I have a home and like a garden and I'm just appreciating
that's crazy.
The food that I've grown. Like I just want to walk outside. I hated tomatoes growing up. To your point, David, I'm not popping a cherry tomato. I'm not doing it. I will slice it up and put it like on my food. He just popped one. And I'm like, yo, this tastes so good. Like I want to go out in my garden, breathe, do a little stretch and like pick my own cucumbers and like pick my own like head of cabbage. Like I just want to do that.
But that's how we should be living at the end of the day. Like that's what I at least want to do. I want to have my own garden. I want to have my own vegetables. I don't need no one else, you know, buying them from the store. I make that myself and have that. Everything I can grow, I want to do that eventually as I get older and, you know, have a little money in my pocket and have a house, have some acres. Like I'm not with the whole raising kids in New York City, have them walking up the city block and playing baseball in full concrete court. Like that's not, to me, that's not life. Like you don't live like that. That's not normal. But somehow that becomes a normalcy in New York City.
Right. So it's no Rucker Park for your kids?
Nah, we could go visit.
No Dykeman?
No Dykeman. They can't go out there like that.
Yo, after 9 months down here, I'm already done. They're trying to tell me I got to go back in the school January 11th. And I'm like,
Nah. You said, what part of North Carolina are you in?
I'm in Raleigh right now.
Okay, Raleigh. I went to school in near Greenville, South Carolina.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my parents moved down here maybe 7 years ago.
Okay.
So I visited, and then in March I was like, "You skirt, bye, New York." But all right, so we jumped. I love that we just jumped right in. It was like a basic question, and then we were gonna do an intro, and we're already into it. And I love that.
Yeah.
But I feel like everyone who's listening, they've gotten to know you a bit. But Troy, there's so much more to you than the way you eat. So I want to like really get to know you. I want everyone listening to know you. I have one specific question. You say that you're fueled by your passion for art. So I just want to know, like, what kind of art fuels you? Like, performance, like, create visual art? Like, what is your art style?
Yeah. Well, I was going to say music at first, but I just said art because I was thinking and I was like, you know, it's not as simple as just music. It's you know, painters, it's, you know, creative directors, it's film, TV, like, all just creators inspire me so much. And like, I love creating as well, whether it's, you know, making music or just writing words that rhyme, not even like necessarily a poem or a rap, like just writing and just expressing myself in whatever way I feel necessary at the time, like creating a piece of content on Instagram or whatever. I'm just fueled by like those creative juices. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's like the kid in me. So this pandemic has really like helped me to like channel that more, be more in tune with that. Cause like I've always been like that, but you know, I kind of got in this space of like, oh, I don't know what I want to do. Or, you know, I don't know who I am, whatever. But you know, this just allowed me to just, you know, sit down and just look myself in the mirror and really like ask myself, who are you? Like, you know, face whatever you're running from and just deal with it. And that just helped me channel my inner child, because you are who you were pretty much. Like like your most innocent self. Like that's who you are. So yeah.
Who are some of your biggest influences?
Some of my biggest influences. All right, so like in the MySpace days, in my bio, I had like it was like my idols are like Jay-Z and Pharrell. That was my thing back then. But you know, just my influences have always been people that like, you know, find their own lane and just are just different. Like, you know, like Tyler the Creator and like, you know, Basquiat, like on my shirt. Like people like that, that just, you know, and like there's shows that inspire me and movies. So yeah, I try not to like, I don't idolize anyone.
Exactly.
But I am influenced by people heavily. Bob Marley, you know, Malcolm X.
So yeah. if a little kid, an 8-year-old, a third grader at a school in Brooklyn found out about you and they're at their most innocent age and that you inspired them, like, how do you think they would talk about you? Like, what is it about you that would inspire someone? I know that's not what you said at all, but I'm inspired by listening to you. And you said, like, you have to really figure out who you are. You get to the most innocent version of yourself. So who are you? Like, if there was, and I want you to do it in the vein of, because you know what? You said you like art, creativity, and I'm on my improv. I have an improv class after this. If you were a little kid looking up to you, what is it that little kid would tell their mom why you're so great? Like, oh my gosh, I just found out about this guy, Troy Blyden. Oh, he's so cool. What would it be?
just authenticity and just like transparency. Like I'm not afraid to say how I'm feeling or like, you know, admit that I'm emotional at a time or whatever. So just like, especially being a Black man, like, you know, sometimes there's like this stigma, like you're not allowed to like, you know, be sensitive or anything like that, you know. And that's something I struggled with as a kid, was like, you know, feeling ashamed if I wanted to cry or something like that. So like, I would want a kid to be like, oh wow, like that person inspired me to like not be ashamed of who I actually am, like just living my truth and, you know, express myself and, you know, express every emotion that I feel. I mean, embrace every emotion that I feel, whether it's sadness, happiness, joy, whatever. And that's what I would, you know, want to be remembered as. And yeah.
That's dope. And you touched on it a little bit in Tanaja's point and your point, talking about kind of looking yourself in the mirror. What has been that like, because I know I have plenty of silver linings for the quarantine myself, embarking on different things that I wanted to do and accomplish now that I have the time, teaching myself graphic design, reading your posts and going and searching Dr. Sebi and understanding that he actually won the New York court case when he did heal those people that people don't talk about, but that's another day. But what has been your silver lining? What is that tick that you got where it's like, all right, this is why I'm in quarantine and this is what I've accomplished now that I'm looking at it as like 2020 being hindsight, which is kind of cliche.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a multitude of like scenarios that have gone on during this pandemic that have like been like, you know, focal points in my evolution. But like, I don't know, to kind of like make it brief, like just having it's as simple as just having the time to not being able to run away from whatever you're trying to suppress or like whatever you're, you know, afraid to try. Like you have nothing but time now. So it's like, if you don't do something, it's on you. You can't use an excuse of like, oh, I got to go to the job. Oh, I got this. If there's a way you're treating somebody poorly in a relationship or like, you know, you're not reaching out to this person enough, you know, you have nothing but time. You have nothing but you can only be accountable. So like 2020 has been the year of accountability for me.
I like that.
And like, yeah, that's I don't know if that answers your question.
Oh, that does. That's dope. Yeah.
Absolutely. The year of accountability.
Yeah. No, that's true. Because you definitely can't make excuses without, like, everyone has the time. 100%. And I'm not going to front, like, going through the pandemic and, like, having family, making sure I'm checking in with everybody, but also some friends. Like, I know I haven't been the best person responding back through texts and things like that, trying to keep up. But also I'm like, when it first started, you have no clue what's going on. I don't know what COVID is, trying to figure out. There's so much misinformation on the internet. So I'm just trying to make sure my core is good. And now I've got comfortable going through this process of like learning these things and understanding myself, like you spoke about. And that's why, like when we were talking about people we want on, that's why I thought of you multiple times. We just never had a time set because we were going through where we were and when do we have time and things like that. But I've always been impressed by like the things that you open up. You open up doors for me personally to like look up things, and even just looking into like alkaline water and like reading those things and like understanding that, even if I'm not going to like partake in it right now, it's like, all right, is this something slowly we're going to introduce into my diet eventually? But understanding and me doing all my research that I can to make sure I understand it, so I'm not just someone that's being that going 100 and then dropping off once I don't do it right. So, dude, like, I'm telling you the truth, man. I've been looking, I've been watching. I appreciate you 100% because no one is telling us. I haven't seen a commercial for take your vitamin C or take your vitamins in the morning. I haven't seen that. So I look to you for that to make sure I like, every time I see, I'm like, all right, now I got to go make sure I eat my vitamins today because Troy's out there doing 100 pushups. So I got to make sure I'm doing
No, I mean, I appreciate that for real. I mean, because like, you know, that makes it worth it to me. Like being able to provide value for somebody else just through a post, like, you know, that's why I make the quote posts, because like that'll be something I'm really thinking and really going through. Mm. So I'm like, why not just share this, like, and make it look dope, like make it into like a cool little quote picture or whatever it is, or a video of, you know, somebody that inspires me talking about it. So like, yeah, that I appreciate you saying that, because like that's why I do it. Like,
you never know who needs to read that or hear it. And then a lot of us, I love that you, what you talked about, David, because like it was about knowledge and it was about being empowered to go on and do your own research too. So many people want to be healthy and they don't know where to start. And then going back to what you said about judgment earlier, Troy, like a lot of people, you could go the Nike route and be like, well, just do it. But some people just like, they need that guidance. Maybe they don't, I don't want to make excuses. I don't want to say they don't have the money to figure it out on their own. But sometimes it's as simple as following the right people on Instagram who will open up a door for you to go on and do your own knowledge. And to your point about 2020 being the year of accountability, it's interesting, you know, it's December, so I'm starting to see those kind of posts about hit the reset button in January. But I'm like, that reset button can happen at any point in time if you strengthen your mind. The reset button for many of us was March, April, when we realized that all we had was time on our hands, right? You don't have to wait until January to go hard in the paint and then hard in the paint. Wow. To go really, really hard and then drop off the face of the earth. Like, I love what you talked about, David, because that goes back to that balance. You're learning. And when you're ready to continue to implement certain things into your whole lifestyle, I hate the word diet, but lifestyle, you will actually understand it. Yeah. I think the tough thing is when you just do something blindly. Sometimes I say that as a religious woman, as a woman who people think that when you follow like Islam or Christianity, you're doing it blindly, but there's something deep inside of you when you have this faith, and it goes with spirituality too, even if you're not necessarily like religion based. But you learn so much more when you empower yourself with knowledge, right? So like, it's not blindly following a religion and doing this because some book said it. It's like engaging in conversations and how people make you feel. I feel that way about these particular healthy lifestyles too. I've got so many friends who've talked about, okay, you're vegan, but like alkaline this and that, it's not gonna mean anything to me unless I actually understand it. And yeah, I'll understand it by having more conversations like this, by following certain people. You're gonna follow soon, Troy, don't worry. But you know, we empower different people. It goes back to, I know we spent a lot of time this season speaking about like the Black Lives Matter movement, when simply like, yes, it's a movement, but simply like it's a statement, like Black lives do matter. And there's so many people just from following particular people on Instagram, they're like, wow, I really didn't get what was happening before because we weren't speaking about it. Some of us have been like loud for years and people were choosing to ignore. But I just think that we come back to this, I feel like every episode, we have to engage in more of these conversations. Like conversations fuel our minds. And at the end of the day, not judgment, but sometimes like hearing from somebody else, it, it it fuels us. Like, I have an acting coach and I'm like, man, I haven't done any of this stuff that we talked about back in April, but accountability, we should be able to hold our own selves accountable. And so I love that you're at that point, Troy, and that's what you're speaking about. Accountability partners are also so beautiful. Like my acting coach, he's assigning me work. For whatever reason, I have not been a self-starter to be like, I'm going to learn this new scene. And that's on me. That's nobody else, because I'm focusing on other things. That's on me. One day I hope that I have that. But right now I need a coach as my accountability partner. So people need to like search deep within themselves and realize where those weak points are. I can go out, I can exercise, I can cook this way, but for whatever reason, my biggest passion, which is acting, takes a little bit more. I got to search deep inside myself to figure out like what's blocking me. You know, like, no. Is it that I don't want to start because I'm afraid of failing? Is it that I don't want to start because I'm afraid of success? Because if I get super successful, Dave is going to be in my inbox trying to get some money.
I need that check. I need that. I want 10% today.
See?
10%, but nah, that's dope. That's dope. Nah, that you're hitting the nail on the head, Najee. Definitely want to stay, like, don't want to go too far into that piece because I definitely... Troy, I know you're working on Second Quarter Studios, my brother. And I need to know what's going on. I know you're in construction mode. I want to make sure people understand because I got a hoodie and it's dope. It's Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield. He even personalized it with my Instagram. And he just sent it. He was like, yo, I'm going to put something together for you. And this is how it came out. And it's one of the flyest hoodies I got.
But I tell us about it. I'm looking at all this. I'm looking at your page right now and it looks dope. So.
Tell us the story of creation of that and then where it's taken.
Okay. I'll start from the jump. Like, the beginning of it, how it started was So I was at home and I had like three weeks or a month until I had to go on tour with the Globetrotters. So I was like, I want to do something in this time. Like, what can I do? Like, I was like, you know what? I want to start making clothes, start designing clothes. So I just did it. I winged it. Like, you know, I started looking at designs. I figured out, you know, I started writing down ideas, figuring out what I wanted to put on my shirts. And actually, you know what? It didn't, but there was a precursor to that. I was in New York. This was before I moved back to Florida. So I was in New York in like October of last year. And I'm sorry. It's all coming back to me now. Like, you know, because I don't think about the origin story. So
you got to tell
exactly how it started. Okay. All right. So my cousin Quincy, he was working on a school project and he asked me to help him print out a picture of Jean-Michel Basquiat, who's on my shirt. And I printed the picture out for him and it was too small at first. So he had to print another one. And then I was looking at the smaller one and I was like, yo, this is a dope picture. It would look cool on a shirt. So then I cut it out and I like put it on the shirt and I looked like I saw how it would look and I was like, oh, this is fire. So then I Googled like, how do you make your own shirt, how to do a transfer, whatever, figured it out. The next day I went to like Staples or something, got some transfer paper, ironed it on and like, and then I like had my first shirt. Matter of fact, I'm gonna get it right now.
Yo, I love it. I love when beautiful
this
ideas.
Is the first, this is the first one I ever made.
That's yes. Awesome.
And you still got it. That's even doper.
Yeah, yeah. So then,
wait, hold it up again. Hold it up again.
That's hard.
So that was the picture. And then after that, I was like, oh, this is dope. Like, it's easy too. Like, so then I started making I made one for my dad. I made one for my cousin, I made one for my mom and my stepdad. And then I just like, I got on the roll. And then when I got home to Florida, I had moved from New York to Florida. And I was like, yo, I'm just gonna start doing this. Started making hoodies, whatever. You know, I think you were the first, I think you were the second hoodie order I got. Yeah, so like, you know, I sent you that. So yeah, I made a website, you know, made an Instagram and I was just like fueled. But since then, you know, I've grown up a little bit and I feel like that brand specifically, it like that was a moment in time. And like now I'm moving on to like other designs and like you know, just a different, I have a different outlook on things. So I still want to make clothes in some facet, but hey.
And the fire. And the custom. Bam.
Ah.
You know, when I got that, yo, I went into the office. They was like, yo, what's that? I'm like, yo, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, sweetheart. Don't worry about it, sweetheart.
Wait, show the first side. Show the front side again.
Yeah, now when this stuff came in, I was like, yeah, nah, I need that.
You can't say the curse and then say stuff after.
I know, my bad. They know, but that means I'm respectful, just in case my pop's listening.
Exactly. No, he is. Hold on. So at this point in time, is everything still completely custom?
No. Like, what do you mean?
You make it or you send it out?
Well, I haven't made anything in like almost a year. Like, I haven't made anything in a while.
So it's good.
It was like a 3-week span of me just making a bunch of stuff. And then I went to Europe for like a month. And then I was just like, then after that, I was just kind of like, you know, it kind of like lost steam. Like, and I felt like it was a moment in time. And now I've just been working on other designs and like other ways I want to like, you know, make clothes and stuff. So it's still something I want to do.
So when's it, like, for whoever's listening, when can we get something? I want Empress. I want something with an Empress on it.
Okay, yeah, 2021 for sure. You'll definitely see some stuff from me.
Nefertiti. This upcoming year. Okay.
That's yeah, sweet. But for sure.
So, and you went off to Europe. Why?
So, with the Harlem Globetrotters, we do what's called the military tour. And we go and, you know, we do shows for, you know, all the people that are stationed in Europe.
That's dope.
So it's really cool. Like, you can just, they're just so like appreciative of it. And just like, you know, they have their families living with them. And it's like, you know, it's just different. It's different than when you're in the States. And like, it's cool. But like, it's like a different level of like appreciation when you're over there. And you see like, these people have like sacrificed their entire like regular lives to like be somewhere else serving our country. And like, it's inspiring.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay, hold on. We're gonna rewind the tape real quick, Connor. We gotta actually rewind it. So we've dropped this little nugget like 3 times, but whoever's listening has no idea that you're like, they're like, wait, did they just say Harlem Globetrotters? And I feel like we've said it, but now we gotta really fully let the audience in. So I know, like, I work for Disney, for example, and there's certain things I have to not say. So I understand that you might not be able to tell us everything, but like, hold the tape, hold the phone. You're a Harlem Globetrotter.
Yes, I am.
That's wild. So how did, tell us that journey. And for whenever you can't say anything, just give us a little wink or something. Like, yeah, and yeah. So this is how that happened, wink, wink. I just wanna know how you became a Harlem Globetrotter and like, really, what's the most fun part? Because it's not just basketball. Like, it's such a beautiful like form of like theater, in my opinion. So like, what's your favorite part about being a Globetrotter, and how did you get on the team, if you can tell us that?
Yeah, so it started, there's a guy who used to be a Globetrotter years back, and I used to coach for his AAU team, for his, like, it was like 8 and under, like young kids. So I had been out of college for like 2 years at the time, and you know, I was really missing basketball, like really missing it. And I went on this journey of like, you know, reaching out to, you know, agents and scouts and coaches for like overseas. And I'm telling you, I probably emailed like 300 coaches. Like, I was grinding. And like, I had just quit my job and decided like, that's what I'm going to do. I was working as a bar back at the Standard Highline for like a year. Quit that. And I was like, I'm just going to go all in and just do this. So, you know, emailed like 300 coaches and agents. And eventually I got to the point where I got an opportunity to play in the play for like a semi-pro team, played a couple games with them. That ended up, you know, not working out. But, you know, then, you know, my dad suggested, he was like, why don't you hit up Mike? Like, you know, see if he can, you know, hook you up with the Globetrotters. So I contacted him. He put me in contact with some more people, you know, some people that work for the Globetrotters. They saw some of my footage, sent it in. And, you know, next thing I know, I had a tryout and I was working out with them. And then I was on tour within, you know, a month. So yeah, it worked out really perfectly.
That's dope.
What's
the coolest thing to you? Like, the coolest,
it's really like traveling and being able to see, you know, all these different countries and states and like places you never thought you would go. I haven't gone anywhere compared to some of the other guys, some of the vets. Like, there's guys that have been to every state and like, you know, 20 countries. Like, it's crazy. But, you know, I went to 6 countries in 3 weeks, like 5 countries in 3 weeks. When we went to, you know, I was in Canada when Nipsey Hussle died, and like that started that journey for me. So it's just, it was all just like divine timing. Like, it's amazing. Like, the traveling part is my favorite, to answer your question.
That's awesome. Are there any tricks that you, you probably couldn't answer that, but.
Ask it. I'll tell you if I can answer it or not.
Okay. Are there any like really wild new tricks you've learned that are just.
Oh yeah. Like all the, you know, when I went, all right. So only thing I could do when I started with them was spin the ball on my finger. You know, like, the guys really brought me in and embraced me and like taught me different stuff and like, you know, how to like spin the ball like that. And like, it's
wow.
Yeah. I'm nowhere near, you know, where these vets are, but I learned like a lot of different tricks. It's hard to explain it without actually showing you, but
yeah,
there's pretty much everything I learned was like when I started with them.
And was it a challenge? Like, did you ever find yourself like, oh, I can't, you know, I'm not getting this down?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, you know, you just keep practicing. Like,
and when you think
they're not gonna make you do anything you can't do, you know?
Yeah. Have you been practicing during COVID, like, just to stay fresh?
Yeah. I mean, I always gotta stay in shape. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's not, I haven't been like playing ball like, you know, like I'd like to, but I mean, that's all right. Like, there's other things that I've been able to focus my energy on that have helped me so much that, like, I'll be able to pick that back up like nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's so dope, man. I like when I was looking at your Instagram and seeing you traveling and, like, being at MSG and playing there and not realizing, like, until I see someone that's actually going through it, because your first thought is, like, all right, this is the home of Globetrotters. They're going to blow out the other team. But then you go to another game and you're like, all right, there's actually ballers on that team that can actually play basketball, and they're going to get that money to perform, but also play basketball. So I would pay attention more. I look into it like, all right, I tried to come to the match, but I had something else that was lined up when you were in New York. I didn't have time to go, but I wanted to go so bad. But it's just like, it's so interesting to see that and actually know someone that is a Harlem Globetrotter, because that's like the coolest thing. Like, as a kid, I used to think they were so cool. Like, just seeing them growing up. So it's like inspiring, because you know that you're like influencing an entire generation of kids that still pay attention to that, because it's not all about like just running around. You're opening up another avenue for them to think about, and knowing you, it's like, damn, that's actually an avenue for someone to grow up and to potentially become, which is super cool.
And that's something that I always keep in mind when I'm posting something online, you know, because like, There's people that have there's kids that follow me now that know me from the Globetrotters, and like, you know, so like, I have to be mindful of things I post. So like, when I do post something, I want it to be something that like feeds your soul and like means something. Like, and that doesn't mean, you know, I'm just gonna post all serious stuff, but like, I don't want it to just be like, you know, social media nonsense. Like, I want to post something that you got to think about, or like, that's going to benefit somebody. Like, I like providing value for people. Like,
yes.
That's just what it comes down to.
You're doing it. You're doing it, brother.
I appreciate it.
I love it.
Y'all so too, man. Y'all too with your podcast, man. For real.
We try. That's all Najee.
It's you. You always shine. Humble. I love it.
I'm just here.
We're providing value for ourselves, because we grow. I feel like every time there's an episode, we get back in our group chat, we're like, yo, that was so dope. I learned so much. Talking to people, right? We're talking to people. We're trying to expand our minds. But speaking of providing value, you know, David was talking earlier about how sometimes it's hard to get that motivation during COVID. or it's cold outside to get those bike rides. The sedentary life, you know, we have to be motivated. You have to really find that self-motivation to stay like physical. I'm on this pull-out couch with my parents and I slept on my back the wrong way the other night. So I'm wondering, could you provide us with some value? Like, what is your at-home like workout routine? Do you do something physical every day? Because I definitely saw the 100 push-ups.
No, I work out every day pretty much. Definitely this month. So going back to what you were saying about your accountability coach, me and my younger brother, we're actually holding each other accountable. I came to him with an idea like, yo, let's do 200 push-ups all of December, every single day for the rest of the year. So, you know, we've just been texting each other every day. Like, all right, I did 100, I did 50, I did, you know, 200 up until we get 200, up to 200 for that day. So that's what I've been doing this month mainly is those push-ups. You know, I keep it simple. I do like jail workouts, like mad different variations of push-ups and like squats. Jump squats, like it's really not, it's not that complex. Like, it's harder that way because you gotta, like, you know, just use your body. But yeah, I do a lot of calisthenics. I don't really lift many weights. Showed you the dumbbell, but you know, I barely use that. I do a lot of push-ups, a lot of squats, you know, a lot of leg lifts on the calisthenics bar. I know it's cold in New York, but right. If you're in the house, I would just suggest a lot of different push-ups. Like, diamond push-ups, you know, switch your hands this way, you know, wide grip, close grip, do the short ones like halfway and then do full extension. Like, there's just so many, just like look on YouTube and there's so many guys that's their area of expertise and like that's all they do, like just work out and just train people. So that's where I learned a lot of stuff on YouTube. Like, that's how I got into calisthenics, was YouTube.
Do you ever do
anything? Yo, I call it YouTube University.
No, it is.
Yeah, for real.
It is. That's what I'm learning, graphic design. I sit there, I break it down. I got the timestamps. I'll sit there, do one thing, because that's how my mind works. Do one thing each day.
And it's that's like, how I learned to edit video, too.
That's it.
Like, you go.
Dr. Google.
They don't understand. And it takes the motivation, like we're speaking about, like to actually go in and do it. Like, just taking the time out of your day, knowing, like, I'll read 5 pages of a book every day. Well, at least try my best to do that and making sure I'm learning something new. I've been more into like more current books, like reading something about surveillance capital and how the government's watching. But we can go on another day on tangent on that one. But it's like understanding the world, because we're about to walk into a world that we have no clue what's about to happen. Like, this is a whole new world.
I think this is real quick. Connor, we might have you edit it or keep it in to hold us accountable. But I think in 2021, as a part of our underrepped reps, I think you need to have Box's Book Club. Box's Book Club. I know some people know you as Quill and David. Kelly probably calls you David. But Box's Book Club. Because you always have the great suggestions. I would love to, like...
Yo, you put me on to Thrift Books.
Thrift Books is fire.
Yeah.
You can't. All right, my bad. I'm getting fired up.
Get fired up.
You can't say you want to read and not buy books from Thrift Books. I literally had freaking like $200 in my account in 2015. I mean 2013. And I found Thrift Books. They're $3. Yes. $3 books. I got a whole collection now. Celestine Prophecy, all these books is $3. Just go to thriftbooks.com. I reach out to them about under reps all the time. And Virtue, I'm like, yo, we need a partnership because I'm putting out.
Facts. We need that sponsorship. All right, I got it locked in right now. I'm about to get my book. That's awesome. That's great. All right, so real quick, what number are you at today for push-ups, Troy?
I did 200 today.
Dang. It ain't even 1 o'clock.
All right, 200. So
200 push-ups, 100 squats so far.
All right, let's go, David. Let's go, Connor.
Nah, she's crazy.
Let's go.
All right, I'll do 5. I got you on 5.
All right, I got you. Connor, how are you? All
right, let's go.
What you got us on, Connor? All right, ready?
All right, how many are we doing?
Let's do 20.
All right. Dang, I don't even know how to do one. All right. Boy. 11, 12, 13. I'm at 7. I got 10.
I'll keep going till Dave's done.
Can I sit to the wall? Can I go to the wall?
Them wall push-ups?
What you doing next? You doing wall sits?
We out here working out.
You said wall sits?
I mean, that's what I thought. You said the wall. I thought that's what you meant.
I was trying. All right, I got you. I'm going to do a wall sit for the rest of the episode. We got this. All right, so.
The Health and Wealth Podcast coming at you. Just so you know, we're working out if you can't see us.
You already know. Oh, I was recording. We're going to post this. We got this. Listen, it starts with 10. This time next year, y'all already know. Accountability. I'm going to be like, who's ready for 200? That's awesome. It's amazing, though. You know, back to like health and longevity. Yeah, I just did 10 push-ups. I'm going to go do something. My mom and I are going to work out a little bit later. But it's amazing how just that and doing it with all of you just like burst my energy up, right? Like I'm like, all right, what's next? What's next? Boom, boom, boom. About to go cook something. So it's just, it's people need to really, really understand how much physical activity, even if you're dancing, like I like to get physical activity a little bit different than you and your brother, Troy. And I'm not quite at the bike riding stage, David, because I don't have a bike right now. But like, even if I'm like throwing on like music and I dance for like 30 minutes, it's crazy. And yeah. Then doing, I love squats. I love doing the squats and I'll do it to music. So I feel like as long as you're getting some form of physical exercise. Yeah.
I was talking to my pops cause like he started like losing a little bit of weight. So it's like, yo pops, just walk. That's all, just walk. Like even if you're just walking around the block, you ain't got to do nothing crazy. Cause I think with, at least now I believe this, like when you see things on social media, it could either go two ways for people. It's either it's motivating or they're going to like time themselves out and they're like, damn, I can't do it like that. So I can't do it. It's like, well, that like Troy can do 200. I'll bust down 20 with no problem and let me start there. But people get discouraged essentially when they can't do it as much as the person that they like idolize or look up to, which I definitely recommend everyone refrain from idolizing anyone unless it's
don't
like
idolize.
Unless
for sure.
Nah, I feel good about my little 10. What?
I don't know if you saw the post I made yesterday where it was like the importance in smaller steps.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Every day it's about, 1% man. Better. Every day you gotta get 1% better. And people underestimate that. Every day.
Dropping jewels. Every day you gotta get 1% better.
I can't take credit.
let me take over the podcast real quick. I got a question for y'all. What is the what's the last most influential book you've read?
I got one. It's Celestine Prophecy.
You actually recommended that to me.
Yeah, I recommend it to everybody. I was talking to my boy Taylor the other day. It's just a book. It's like it's a made up book. It's not like, and it essentially speaks to what the other side of spirituality and religion is. And it like breaks down the social constructs that we live in, like something as small as like being in a forest and how you get like revitalized when people go on hikes. Like people don't understand why they're feeling so much energy for that. And it's like, because you're being one with the earth, like you are understanding that these buildings were created. Trees were here first. That's the energy that you're getting. These certain areas that we walk into and these certain things that like, you got to keep your energy high. But in like when I read it, it opened up my mind completely and like changed. And so I bought 7 of them. I've been sending them out to friends. So if you want one, I got you.
That's but awesome.
Not everybody be ready to take that journey with me. So I got to make sure. All right, I'll send
you. I've never been this. I mean, moving myself from New York City has like, my mind is so different than it was 9 months ago.
Okay, got you. But yeah.
You're born and raised in New York?
You're
born and raised? In New York?
Same hometown as Quill. Okay. You call him Quill? Yeah.
Yeah.
So like,
where is that? What's y'all's hometown?
Beacon 845.
It's like an hour and a half away from the city. If you know Poughkeepsie, it's like 30 minutes away from Poughkeepsie. Most people know Poughkeepsie, but we're from Beacon. Yeah.
Okay.
People are starting to learn Beacon, though, because it's a really artistic town. And it's like, you know, everyone, I feel like everyone's leaving the city to move there because it's out of the city.
Rent prices is crazy.
Crazy. I'm like, man, I should have moved back a year ago. It was low, and now I'm looking at places there. It's wild. That's a good question. I might have to get back to you on that because
she ain't been reading.
I haven't been, if I'm being honest, I have to make the time for it. And it is so important, but I've been, so I teach at two schools right now, virtually. So I teach in the mornings for a middle school and the afternoons for an elementary school. And then I help my mom run an organization, Leaders by Choice. Shout out to LBC, honorary member, David Quill.
Yeah, I got in finally. They ain't let me in, Troy. They wasn't trying to look for you, and I had a 69 average. They wasn't messing with me. I'm in now.
I feel like I've been reading a lot of articles about like running businesses and organizations.
Okay.
So I've been on the article, and then obviously on teaching and like learning about technology and how to really reach students, because this is a challenging time with most of these kids remote, and it's so easy to slip under the cracks. So I don't think I've read a book since, it pains me to say, but probably since the summer, but I've been reading so many articles.
That's the same thing though.
It is.
As long as
the thing about those articles are, you remember the gist of it, but I'm like, I feel bad I couldn't tell you the author and the title. but there was one really in particular article that was about white fragility that I read in the workspace, specifically in schools, and it was like racism was never fragile, like, you know, put that away. I sent that out to a few people, so I will find that and send it to you. But it was all about being, you know, what you've heard a lot probably online, but like sitting in your discomfort and being comfortable in your skin and being willing to actually sit there and really analyze yourself and recognize your bias. And to stop coming up with terms like white fragility and stop like making excuses for yourself and just sit on it. Sit in it. Leave that out. Just sit on it. So it's been cool. And I'm about to. And the other one, the last big one that I definitely read, I feel like everyone talks about it, but have you actually read it?
What is it? I haven't read
Running. Michelle Obama. A lot of people haven't read it for whatever reason, but it really, really, really is incredible. She digs so deep. And for whatever reason, I mean, like, I think a lot of women read it more. She's literally the former first lady, but it will reduce you to tears. It will bring you to tears. I guarantee if it doesn't, I will Venmo you $5 if you don't have one tear in there. What about you, Connor? I know you've been reading.
Yeah, most inspiring book I've read. Honestly, I have not been reading a ton lately. I'd say the last one, the one that comes to mind is probably, it's called Ishmael. It's like,
we find out.
Basically, this guy, it's basically about like a guy talking to a gorilla who's like locked in a cage. He can like talk to him for whatever reason, but it's just really cool. It goes into like ethics and like culture and just the state of things. It's like, I could try to start explaining it, but I probably just go on a tangent, but it's really cool. Like, it just like poses a lot of ideas and concepts that are really interesting. So
I have to check that out.
What was the book that you mentioned before? I gotta get that.
Oh no, I'll send it to you. Just send me your address. I got you. Celestine Prophets. I got 7 in the closet, ready to go.
Let's go.
Boxes book club.
But Troy, what about you? What's the most inspiring book or last book that you read?
Yeah. It's hard to just name one. I have like a top five overall of quarantine, but like the number one for me is it's called Money Master the Game by Tony Robbins. And it's just like, it's basically just all about, have you read Think and Grow Rich?
Yeah.
It's basically that, but all about finances. Like it teaches you all about like basically all the secrets that have been hidden in plain sight about investing in terms of like, you know, 401ks and index funds. It's like, it's very boring stuff, but it's like, it's stuff we need to know for like generational wealth and like these things. Like, you know, I didn't know about investing before all of this stuff. And now like I've seen, you know, my investments grow and like I'm learning so much every day, and just, it's been, you know, so, so influential and important. Like being able to like learn these things and like share with my friends and my family and like put them on to game, like, man, that book is powerful. It's a long read, but it's a good book. Like, it's very good.
I love it.
And then, like, my favorite book ever is The Alchemist.
I love The Alchemist.
Yeah. My favorite book.
Fire. Fire. Because you, oh, my God. That's a good book. That's a good book. I like
facts.
That. I picked that up in an airport one time. And when I read it, I was on a plane, and I'm by myself, so I'm flying. I'm freaking out because I'm like, yo, damn, I can't even share what I'm thinking right now. Because it just, the way they just break it all down and then, like, the introspectiveness and, like, I'm like, ooh.
Oh, my God, man.
That's good.
Just how it's just, like, it's, like, you know what the ending is the whole time, but you don't know that you know.
You know exactly what's
going on. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so simple that it's so complex. Like, it's great. I love that book, man.
That's a good book, man.
Yeah.
Oh, I just put in the chat, that's the article. It's called There's Nothing Fragile About Racism.
Okay.
And I enjoyed it, but sweet. Well, I know you tried to take over our podcast a little bit.
Just one question.
All right, so we got a couple more for you before we wrap up. These are the ones that we typically ask all of our guests, and I feel like we've gotten down to it a little bit because we talked about, you know, how a child might look up to you and whatnot. So we're going to ask you just a little bit about if you believe you're a leader. But this is obviously, this podcast is called Underrepresented Representatives, right? We are the underrepped reps, and we like to talk to people who may have been underrepresented in their life. We want to make sure we're amplifying the voices of the often unheard. And you seem like a person who has no problem amplifying your own voice. And I don't know, maybe you haven't always been that way. So my question first for you is, what does the phrase underrepresented representative mean to you?
Yeah. Well, first off, I definitely haven't always been this way. You know, I've always been more introverted and, like, afraid to express myself, but I'm, you know, coming into my own. But to answer your question, I think that means, like, to me, just the first thing that comes to mind is just, like, all of, like, you know, just minorities, and, like, because we're really not minorities, but, you know, it seems that way. So we're the representatives for, like, people, and, like, you know, but we're underrepresented in this country and chastised really everywhere. Like, the darker you are, you know, the more hate you get, really. So that's what it comes to mind when you say that. Like, we're the representatives of, you know, original man and, like, God, and, like, but then it's like we're underrepresented in the grand scheme of things, in terms of, like, this country and, like, the government and all that type of stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. And we've talked a little bit about colorism in the past too. It doesn't come up that often, but the darker you are, the more hated you are. And I think that a lot of people don't understand that, right? So I'll see certain panels, for example, and it's supposed to be of unrepresented voices. And this doesn't take away from them at all for being on the panel, but the people creating it, they, you know, don't look darker than David sometimes. And David talks about this a lot. He talks about, he calls it light privilege, right? I just think it's interesting, the unconscious bias that many of us have, where we're like, oh yeah, and this is so diverse, and they're all people who are biracial. Now, those voices absolutely need to be heard, because there's a lot that has gone on there, but, like, let's switch it up, you know?
Yeah.
Even with some of these conversations, I'm going to panels and they call it a BIPOC panel, right? And it's only people who identify as being Black or African American. And I'm like, yo, shoot, I need to get my Latinx people on here. And, like, I need to get my friends who, I have a friend who's indigenous, and it's like, we need to hear all of these voices. So I appreciate you saying that. You kind of touched on this slightly, but when are there times that you felt particularly underrepresented in your life? Whether it's in a job or school, yeah.
My whole life. You know, I grew up in, you know, near Cleveland, Ohio. So, like in the suburbs, like, I always went to all white schools, and, like, I would be, like, one of a handful of Black kids in the whole school, the only one in the class. Like, so I've been underrepresented my whole life. So that's what I know.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a feeling that, you know, that can make a lot of people uncomfortable. And, like, it's not really a fun space to be in if you don't know what to do, if you don't really know yourself and, like, have the confidence to really, you know, speak the truth. You know, that's an uncomfortable place to be.
Yeah.
So, like, now I have no problem, you know, being that one, you know, Black person, or, you know, whatever you want to call it. I have no problem with that. I don't get uncomfortable. I'll just be like, yo, all right. You know, I'm just more comfortable in my own skin. I don't feel like I'm out of place, you know? So.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was going to ask if you felt like being underrepresented made you stronger, but it's clear it has. Like, a really beautiful common thread through everything you say is knowledge of self and awareness of self. And I just, like, I'm really a fan of what you're saying and of this episode, because people need to, like, constantly, that 1%, grow 1%, that David said, you need to be learning about yourself. And it sounds like you've spent, like, yeah, your life hopefully has so many more years to it, but you've spent your life's journey so far really understanding who you are. And I think that's so important to, like, literally anything you could possibly do. So I appreciate you sharing that with us. And truly.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Troy, you the guest of honor.
Just to be, like, 100% transparent, like, I don't want it to come off as, like, this is something that I've, you know, had figured out forever. Like, you know, a majority of my life, I didn't have full knowledge of self. And, like, you know, just recently I've, you know, really, really, like, faced my own demons and really been honest with myself and, like, you know, been 100% accountable, because, you know, for so long I haven't been accountable all the way. And just because I have been in certain areas, I would use that as an excuse to not be in other areas. So, like, now it's like with eating. Like, you know, if I'm eating a Krispy Kreme donut, I can't even enjoy it because I know the harm it's doing. Now it's like, if I'm, you know, patting myself on the back for, you know, being accountable in one area and I know I'm not in the other, I can't even enjoy that. So, like, I always am keeping myself in check now.
Well, and
so, yeah, I just want that to be clear.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's called integrity. That's my mom's word of the year. And she's like, I have to, if I'm going to be fully authentic and have integrity, it's not just talking to this person I'm on a committee with about how they're treating me, but it's about how I'm treating myself. And I feel like the moment we all recognize that we're going to be learning until the day that we die, that's only when you can truly accomplish all that you're talking about. Like, it is a practice. Like I said earlier, like, no one has ever arrived. Not in any single art form, not in any single profession. I don't care if you're Steven Spielberg, he still has things to learn. Because if he's trying to do a film right now in this age of COVID, he never thought about that before, right? Yeah. So, like, we're all constantly learning. And no one's arrived. Even anyone who is, like, a self-helper, you know, a motivational speaker, like, the ones who do well are the ones who admit, just like you just did, and were transparent and saying, I don't have all the answers, because no one does. We literally, not a single person has all the answers, period. Yeah.
And try,
we're all going to end up dead at some point, yeah. In this physical form, at least.
Yeah. And you're definitely from that same school, and I know this for a fact. It's like, the more you learn, the more you realize you really know nothing. That's at the end.
Absolutely.
Of it. Like, I know you posted that. I'm a firm believer of that, and people don't get that, because it's like, it just throws it in your face, like, damn, even though I'm learning something, you start to realize, like, I really don't know, because what I thought the world was isn't exactly what it is anymore.
Or yeah.
What it was even before COVID. Because a lot of people are going to use the excuse, oh, it's a new world, it's new. No, you didn't even understand the world that you thought you knew. You just started to recognize patterns, because history always repeats itself. But now we're really stepping to a place where we really don't know anything. So definitely appreciate you sharing. That's definitely, like, that's real right there, where letting people know exactly, like, although I'm strong-willed now, that's not where a place I was before. And I'm the same way. Like, 100%, I don't know anything. At the end of the day, I just know what has gotten me to this point, and I like this point in my life.
Yeah. I'm in the process of, like, this is my old website that I don't even use, but I need to update it. But this is, like, the first line on my old website. The more you know, the more you realize you don't. You don't know anything. So I appreciate you saying that too, because I'm, like, about to change everything. I'm like, I need to keep that on there. So Troy, yo, this has been dope. It feels like we're in the same room. It just has felt like we've just been chatting, which I appreciate. We're going to just end with a couple other segments. I don't think I caught this, but where did you grow up? Where are you from?
Honestly, I don't even know at this point. So, like, I was born at Harlem Hospital, New York City, and I lived there for about, you know, 2 years of my life, I think. My parents split up. You know, my mom, she got married, and my stepdad, he played in the NFL. So, like, you know, he played for the Minnesota Vikings. So I lived in Minnesota for a couple of years. And then he got traded to the Browns, Cleveland Browns. And so he moved to Ohio. And I lived there for 9 years. So I really grew up there. And then when I was like 14, we moved to Florida, like Tampa area. So then we've been here since like 08. And then I went to school in South Carolina. And like my dad's side of the family has always lived in New York. So I've always traveled back and forth. So like I've always been going there for the summers, and like that's always been a second home of mine. So,
okay.
So yeah. Yeah. So I really grew up in Ohio, but you know.
Oh wait. Like,
yeah.
Aren't you just in Ohio?
You said, oh no, I'm not like, I don't like claim it, you know. I'm not like a proud, you know.
Ohio.
Ohioan.
All right, so it sounds like you have roots in many different places, so you can answer this question however you feel. We always like to ask if you have a sort of hometown hero that you feel is really helping to represent and amplify your community. So whatever you feel is home in any one of those places.
Honestly, no. I mean, I'd like to be that one day, but
there you go.
Funny story is do y'all know who like Logan and Jake Paul are?
Yeah.
So like, they grew up in the same town as me in Ohio, and they used to run track together. And Logan was actually on my football team in like sixth grade, and my dad was the coach, and he was like our star running back. That's just funny. Like you say, hometown. Like that's just a funny story that comes to mind. But yeah,
that is funny.
Odds of that too, because I just learned who Jake Paul is, and like everyone going crazy about the knockout. I'm like, it's boxing. What you expect? One of them was knocked out.
Right.
Someone was gonna lose, because that's what the point of boxing is.
Hey, Logan's about to fight Floyd, though. I know. What's gonna happen?
Bro. I ain't fighting him. Ooh. I can't say I can beat him, but he ain't gonna be able to hit him once. He's gonna do that shoulder.
Awesome. All right, we're going to end with my favorite segment. We call it No Time to Think, where you recognize your bias. Yours is going to be a little fun. I don't know how much it's going to be biased, but we've just been listening to you and taking some notes. So the way this works, Troy, you are just going to say the first word or phrase that comes to your head when we say another word.
I like this.
Whatever comes to your head. We might add a couple as we go, because you seem like a fun person to mess around with. But yeah, whatever comes to your head. Box, you want to go back and forth with it?
Yeah, I got you.
All right. Take it away.
Government.
Corrupt.
Health.
Wellness.
Coffee.
Adrenals.
Dr. Sebi.
Legend.
Money.
Power.
Oh, love.
Truth.
Big Mac.
Arteries.
Fresh Prince.
Favorite.
I'm a Martin guy. Come on, bro.
I know. I get so much flack for that. So much.
Honestly, I felt it, though. I was like, I feel like he's a Will Smith Fresh Prince. I knew it.
Push-ups.
Longevity.
I eat those. Tinder.
STDs.
You ain't lying. Krispy Kreme.
Blood pressure.
Kevin Hart. Dang, he said no comment.
Short.
Come on, bro. Short kings out here in these streets. We out here.
And finally, this podcast.
Oh, beautiful.
I appreciate that.
Yes. Amazing conversation, seriously.
Yes, this was beautiful, just like you said it. Troy, we loved having you on. Mr. Quill, thank you for bringing him in. Connor, we didn't get your voice on this one, so you're probably happy about that. But don't worry, listeners. Connor's going to speak next time.
Yeah, I was muted for the push-ups thing, but for the record, I got 20. So
hey!
Okay, respect.
That's awesome. All right, so, Troy B., you were awesome. just for your fully authentic self, for sharing yourself unabashedly, for speaking to us candidly about your health and longevity, and for just keeping it real. Like, it just felt like we were a family. We really, really appreciate you, and we appreciate what you're doing in this world. And so for that, and for all that you do and all that you're gonna continue to be, we dub you the, we dub you, hold on, let me get my music. We dub you the. I saw the sound. We dub you the underrepresented representative of the week.
Yes. She got the audio right for you and everything. I love that. That's too cool. Awesome. Thank you again.
Man. Oh, thank y'all so much, for real.
Nah, this is beautiful.
We will stay in touch for sure.
Oh, 100%. Yes. And we'll definitely, man, this was amazing. Appreciate you sharing your story. I knew you had a lot to say, so glad that we were able to schedule. And I know it was a short turnaround, so definitely appreciate the love right there. But as always, hometown, you're our hometown hero now, my man.
Facts. I'm happy you said that. Because I was like, yo, he's the hometown hero. He's not going to say it himself because he's humble. But yeah. Because, you know what I'm saying? I can't eat it anymore. So I could pretend.
That's too cool. Awesome.
Now that was dope. Thank you for oh, we're still recording, Connor. Come on.